The main reason I'm interested in it is because I would like to actually know ahead of time and look and watch prophecy being fulfilled. I think it's very important for us to be able to point to that, to witness. We've got all these different cults, all these different religions, all having their own holy book, but none of them have Bible prophecy fulfilled in our lifetime. And when you can point to things that are supposed to have happened, that prophets talked about thousands of years ago, and people say, "Oh, I remember that. I was there. My dad was in World War II, so he remembers a lot of things that happened, had no idea they were Bible prophecy." So it's very important for witnessing. I did write a book, Ancient Prophecies Revealed. It takes 500 prophecies and puts them in chronological order. One of the main reasons I put that together that way is advice that I was given to me actually by the church fathers. And when you go through and you look at a prophecy out of the minor prophets or the major prophets, and they say something about Israel will return, and when it does, this, this, and this will happen, you look real careful and see if that's returning from the north country, from Babylon, in which case the prophecies that are associated with it are going to be back in 536 BC. On the other hand, if it says that Israel's returning from all countries or the second time or anything like that, you know that the prophecies that are about to happen associated with that passage come sometime after 1948 AD, the second return. And so that's very important when you begin to compartmentalize each one of the prophecies and the groups of them, and you can tell what happened when, and it makes it a lot easier. When you go back and just looking at the prophecies in general, just three or four of them ought to be enough for you to focus on something that's happened in your lifetime. Isaiah tells us that the name of the Messiah would be salvation or Yeshua. Balaam back in Numbers tells us a star would appear at his birth. Daniel in chapter 9 tells us that the Messiah would come and die for the sins of the people before the destruction of the second temple, which was in 70 AD. And it actually tells you from the date of the decree to rebuild Jerusalem, so many days forward would be when the Messiah is cut off. And if you got those things out, calculated them, you would know the exact year. Knowing that he was a priest, or was to act as a priest, he would have been born at least 30 years before. So you can kind of put those things together, be looking, and then when the star appears, it should be pretty obvious, because within 8 days, according to the Mosaic law, there would be two people bringing in a baby from Jerusalem, not Jerusalem, excuse me, from Bethlehem, that would want to circumcise their son, and they're going to call him Yeshua. So you know that, and as soon as you see that, it's pretty obvious who's there. And that's why Simeon, lifted him up and said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Just to know all that ahead of time and see that happening is amazing. One of the things that most people don't realize is that one of the prophecies mentioned in most of the prophecies mentioned in Matthew deal with things about the Messiah, but Matthew's just simply pulling some of the major things that are easy to understand, and there's so many of them that we get the idea through Matthew that obviously Jesus was the Messiah. But he gives you half of the prophecies most of the time. One prophecy is that the child, before he learns good and evil, the two nations that are bothering Judah at the time, which is Samaria and Syria, will be no more. And what's interesting about it is in the wars between Parthia, which would be Iraq or Persia at the time, decimated Syria and actually cut it in half, and it ceased to exist about 30 BC. And then with the reign of Archelaus taking over from Herod, when he went crazy and killed several hundred priests, the Romans said, "That's enough of religion." Didn't replace him, just simply obliterated Samaria and said it's now Roman territory. That happened at 10 AD, which is about 2 years before Jesus went in and had his bar mitzvah. And so there's a whole lot of these things that you look at, and if you realize that, yeah, within a couple of years before he actually did the ceremony to become an adult, to know good from evil, those two countries ceased to exist. And there's a whole lot of prophecies like that in there. He fulfilled the first coming probably at least 150, depending on how you count. Some people count it as high as 200 to 300 prophecies. Just amazing. Yeah, in 1948, I believe there were 10 or 20 of them specifically. Everybody knows that Israel's supposed to come back, and Israel did. I was preaching at a church yesterday, actually yesterday morning, and someone came in and they were talking to somebody that is neo-Nazi, British Israelite, something like that, trying to say that maybe the Jews that are over there now aren't really the real Jews, you know, this kind of a thing. It comes up every so often. And I was telling him, it's like, but the prophecies are specific. The Jews, that would be the real ones, are supposed to come into their land, reestablish it, and there's actually even a date given, much like the first coming of the Messiah. So whoever went into that land over there, ancient land of Canaan, and established a Jewish state on that date would have to be the real Jews because they fulfill prophecy. So it's pretty straightforward, and it wasn't the church, so the church hasn't replaced Israel. You know, it should be really easy to understand. But it's not just that Israel came back. There was many, many prophecies. Since 1948, we've had over 50 prophecies fulfilled. Just some of them are, of course, Israel was supposed to come back. They're supposed to come back as one nation, not two, not Israel and Judah. They're supposed to name the country Israel. I would have guessed Judah, you know, for Jews rather than Israel, but no, it was supposed to be Israel. The symbol of David, the shield of David, was supposed to be on their banner. And of course, we have the Star of David on the Israeli flag. They were supposed to bring back the Hebrew language, the Lip of Canaan, according to the prophecy. And of course, they speak Hebrew over there now. It just goes on and on. They redo the cities. They were supposed to start originally in the southern part of Judah without Israel, or without Jerusalem, rather, as a capital, for a specific reason, Zephaniah mentions. And of course, that took place. The evil land of Moab was supposed to be greedy for land and capture land at that point. And of course, Moab, Edom, and Ammon were prophesied in Daniel to come together and form a country in the end times, and that's Jordan. And of course, Jordan did come in and capture. That's why we have a West Bank, which is causing all the problems today. And it just goes on and on. All sorts of things like that were supposed to happen. When they came back, instead of kings, they were supposed to be some sort of elected officials, according to the Micah prophecy. And it is. They have prime ministers now. They don't have kings that rule. And it just goes on and on. They're supposed to be one of the probably the most fierce fighting force on the planet. And yet at the same time, they have pockets of people in their borders that don't like them, which doesn't make sense. You'd think, why don't they get rid of them? Well, it must be politics. But again, it's everybody knows Israeli quality weapons and these kind of things. And you don't mess with Israelis. The only people Israelis might be scared of would be China, Russia, or United States for the sheer amount of people and technology. But again, we see all these things happening with the things that are going on with the Lord, and it's just amazing. I've talked to Muslim friends that I used to work with, and they would say similar things like, well, the United States made that happen. Okay, even if that's true, do you think the United States is more powerful than Allah? Oh, well, no. Well, then Allah allowed it. Well, yeah, so it must be the will of Allah. No, no. Well, what else would it be? You know, just think about these things. Okay, the United States made it happen. And it's the same thing. I had one guy tell me that, well, one of the prophecies is that when Israel comes back, they would be founded by a guy named after King David. And it was David Ben-Gurion. He fulfilled like three or four of those prophecies. And someone said, well, you know, he's a Russian Jew. Who knows? Maybe his name was Yaakov something, you know. And then when he migrated to Israel, he changed his name to David. And it's like, okay, even if, and it wasn't, he was born David, but even if that was true, just think about it. You think I could change my name to David and run over to Israel and become prime minister just because of that? I mean, think about it for a minute, you know. And it's not just one prophecy like that. We've got like 10 to 20 in 1948, and in the last 60 years, 50. There's just too many of them to be a coincidence. I think the United States is pretty powerful, but I don't think they're that powerful. I believe it's Isaiah chapter 29, but it says that Israel would be basically at war, fighting, and the old ones, the prophets, would speak out of the dust of the earth. You know, when you first read that passage, it's like ghosts coming up out of the backyard or something. But what was interesting about it is that this Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, and they were in the hands of Palestinians or Arabs. And Israel was beginning to negotiate to try to get a hold of these things. The first and the biggest was the Isaiah Scroll, which is now housed in Israel. And they had finally scraped together enough money to go get this thing. And Yisrael Yarden was the guy that had got the whole deal together, went and got the money, left the university, went down and actually purchased the Isaiah scroll, turned around, was going to bring it back to the university, and found out he couldn't get there. Apparently a war had started and he had to take it somewhere safe. And so it's an amazing story. He tells a little bit about that type of thing. But again, Isaiah and the prophets begin to speak out of the dust of the earth. We have their writings. Now, there's almost no difference between the Isaiah scroll found in the Dead Sea Scrolls and what we have. The Ezekiel tablets, the originals written on black basalt tablets, 3 words difference between it and what we have in our Bible. But again, it's just an amazing find. It verifies, because a lot of the Muslims that I've talked with have said, well, you know, it's probably been tampered with. Well, the Old Testament goes all the way back to BC time, you know, which would be 600 years before Muhammad, you know, and they say it's been tampered with. They need to find one of these other kind of Bibles that exist. And we've got so many things going all the way back talking about that. And it's just amazing that most people don't realize there's actually quite a few prophecies about Hamas and Islam for the last days. And again, you have to look careful at the prophecies and see, but there's quite a bit in there for that.